Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 42, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
God compares the fall of Tyre to the fall of Babylon. Isaiah 23:1, the burden of Tyre, it is laid waste. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, they made it a ruin. He compares the two in the chapter. The same 70-year warning, which we have seen is a type of the 7-year warning, after which the Lord comes, is given to Tyre as Babylon. The exact same warning. Verse 15, and it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. That's 7 years for America. According to the days of one king, after the end of 70 years, that is 7 years, it shall be unto Tyre as the song of a harlot. Again, Tyre is called the harlot, like Babylon is called the harlot, like America is called the harlot. And it shall come to pass that after 70 years, or 7 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre. There it is again. After the 7 years, the Lord comes for both Babylon and Tyre. Isn't that interesting that God hid that in there? After 7 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall return to her hire, and shall play the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Well, little Tyre never actually did that, you know. But think about as a parable for America. America truly is playing the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. They didn't know what the face of the earth was back then. Tyre's fall in the very next chapter. You understand? There were no chapter numbers. The words just went right on. Totally ignored chapter numbers. They were added in later. So the next chapter is actually talking about the same thing. Tyre's fall in the next chapter is quoted in the famous vision given to evangelist A.A. Allen. The voice of God quoted Isaiah 24:1-6 as speaking of the destruction of the United States. Now we see that clearly from his revelation that Tyre represents the United States. I remember this actually after the Lord showed it to me in the Bible. And then I remembered this and looked it up and saw, wow, that he actually quoted both Babylon and Tyre. Okay. In part, it said, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. He's talking about America here, folks. Broken the everlasting covenant, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. See, America was supposed to be the salt of the nations, you know, to represent God to the nations. But she has broken the covenant, and therefore the curse has devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate, therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. So A.A. Allen quoted Tyre as being a type of the United States. Now, he didn't know that he was probably talking about Tyre there, but we can see that to be the fact. Confirmation. Jeremiah 25:12. When 70 years are accomplished, or 7 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon. Then, from verses 15 through 25 in the same text, Babylon, as a type of the United States, first brings the cup of wrath to the nations. After which, we are told in verse 26 that the king of Shishak, which is a name for Babylon, shall drink after them. When was it? After 7 years. The next verse is quoted by the Lord in A.A. Allen's famous vision describing the destruction of the United States. So now we've got A.A. Allen quoting for both Tyre and Babylon and saying that they are the United States. As the great cup of wrath was placed in the hand of the Statue of Liberty, I heard these words, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, drink ye and be drunken and spew and fall no more because of the sword which I will send." And I was amazed to hear the Statue of Liberty speak out in reply, "I will not drink." Then, as a voice of thunder, I heard again the voice of the Lord saying, "You shall certainly drink." Then suddenly the giant hand forced the cup to the lips of the Statue of Liberty, and she became powerless to defend herself. The mighty hand of God forced her to drink every drop from the cup. As she drank the bitter dregs, these were the words that I heard, "Should ye be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts." When America falls, all the inhabitants of the earth will be punished in a world war. And should you be utterly unpunished? Basically, the harlot has been riding the beast for 7 years. Not without some punishment, but without the kind of punishment that she's dealing out to all the nations. Shishak will drink after them, you see. So now it's her turn. And after this, he saw a massive biological attack, which killed millions in America and paralyzed the United States for a nuclear attack. He goes on to say, "I heard these words, a noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation." This is that nuclear exchange he's talking about. "And a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, nor gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the face of the ground." And they're probably all radioactive. "Then suddenly I saw from the Atlantic and the Pacific out of the Gulf rocket-like objects that seemed to come up like fish leaping out of the water. High into the air they leaped, each headed in a different direction, but every one towards the United States." Well, this is amazing, you know, because his prophecy is so accurate, you know, that in the early 1950s, they didn't know anything about submarines launching ballistic missiles from underneath the sea, from subs. This is just amazing. "I viewed the widespread desolation brought about by the terrific explosions." Now, after this, he goes on to describe a massive invasion of the United States and the protection of the saints, because the saints are still here. "Then to my ears came a sound of distant singing. Immediately I knew it was the rejoicing of the saints of God. I looked, and there high in the heavens, above the smoke and poisonous gases, above the noise of the battle, I saw a huge mountain, a solid rock, and I knew at once that this was the mountain of the Lord. The sounds of music and rejoicing were coming from a cleft high up in the side of the rock mountain. It was God's own people who were safe from all the harm, for they were hidden away in the cleft of the rock, protected by a giant hand that reached out of heaven, shutting them in until the storm be overpassed." You remember when God shut Noah into the ark? Well, that's what this is. This is a spiritual type and shadow of the ark of safety. So what he was saying was they lived through a biological exchange, a nuclear exchange, and an invasion up until that point, and yet God is keeping them safe. We're going to look at some more of that too. The U.S. falls after the tribulation at the day of the Lord. Most of God's people don't know what the day of the Lord is or when it comes, but we're going to look at that very clearly. We're going to see exactly where America falls and exactly where the saints are taken up and all these things. Isaiah 13:1. "The burden of Babylon, the noise of a multitude in the mountains as a great people. the noise of a tumult of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. They're gathered together to attack Babylon or the United States. The Lord of hosts is mustering the hosts for battle. The Lord is bringing them against Babylon because Babylon has crucified the saints, basically. They come from a far country, from the uttermost parts of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Notice that the destruction of Babylon happens in the day of the Lord. We've been told that that's the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and that's not true. We're going to look at that. So Babylon falls at the day of the Lord. Cruel, with wrath. It is the wrath of God in the day of the Lord. Not tribulation, wrath. To make the land a desolation and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. At the time when America is attacked, from then on for a solid year, God's effort is going to be to destroy the sinners. The U.S. falls after the tribulation when the sun and moon are darkened, caused by a world nuclear exchange, resulting in earthquakes, volcanoes, cities burning, much smoke. Okay? Now watch. In the same text, in Isaiah 13, he tells you when Babylon falls. He said, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. That's when Babylon, as a type of the United States, falls. And I will punish the world for their evil. Also, Jerusalem, remember we looked at some other prophecies here, Jerusalem with capital USA in the middle as a prophecy. Jerusalem falls in a world nuclear exchange, darkening the sun as another type. Amos 8, 2 and 3, I will not again pass by them anymore. The dead bodies shall be many in every place. In that day, saith the Lord, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. There it is, the darkening of the sun, which is when Babylon falls, the darkening of the sun. And all the sinners of God's people will die by the sword. There it is again. God will seek in that day to destroy all the apostates, meaning all those that are fallen away, who say the evil shall not overtake Nermetus. Just think, they're still going to be saying that in that day, just like they're saying it today, right? In Matthew 24, 29, we have some real good timing here. But immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, when you look in the text from 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, the text is clearly talking about the days following the abomination of desolation, which happens in the middle of the tribulation period. So we're talking here about after the whole tribulation period, after the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And immediately after that time, it says, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Well, that's when the Bible says that Babylon falls. Because of a nuclear exchange, the sun and moon are darkened. That's when Babylon falls, as a type of the United States. And notice, when the United States fall, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Notice he said, then will I visit you. After 7 years of bondage to Babylon, God says, then I'm going to visit you. Here he is, right here, visiting. Okay? And he shall send forth his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. That's the last trump. And they shall gather together his elect. Okay, more timing. Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come. Okay, this is very plain. After the tribulation, the sun and moon are darkened and America falls. And after the sun and moon are darkened, that's when the day of the Lord comes. See, because the sun and the moon are darkened in the very beginning of the day of the Lord, when America is destroyed and the nations are chastened with a nuclear exchange. Okay, how long is this day of the Lord? Well, think about the 7 days of Daniel. Each one of those days represented a year, didn't it? Okay, that's 7 days or 7 years. And they are followed by another day that's also a year. It's the eighth day or the eighth year. And here he tells you in Isaiah 34 and 8, for the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense. The day of the Lord is a day that's a year. A year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Now notice, the day of the Lord is the judgment upon the people who mistreated Zion. Judgment upon the wicked who mistreated his people. Isaiah 63 and verse 4 says, "For the day of vengeance, the year of my redeemed is come." The day of vengeance. It's a year. It's also the year of His redeemed. Did you know the day of the flood, the year of the flood, was also the year of His redeemed? Because God was going to take His people, and then He was going to bring this wrath upon the earth to destroy the wicked. So the timing we're seeing here very plainly is the tribulation period. The sun and moon are darkened in the beginning of the day of the Lord as America falls. In the beginning of the day of the Lord. Okay? You see the timing? Now we're going to look at some timing for the rapture, resurrection, wrath, and return of the Lord with His saints. I point out 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 because in this text it tells us very clearly that the rapture and the resurrection happen at the same time. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's both a rapture and resurrection at the same time. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and that are left shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we're going to see this timing of the rapture and the resurrection in Noah's timing and in Daniel's timing. They're going to tell us the exact day of the rapture and the resurrection. Noah gave the day of the rapture because all the people that were in the ark obviously didn't die. They were being protected and escaped, right? And Daniel spake of the same day as the resurrection day. That shouldn't surprise us because both of these verses tell us that they both happened at the same time. But Noah and Daniel give the exact same day for these. Matthew 24 and 36. Of that day and hour knoweth no one. We've been told this a lot, that we can't ever know the day or the hour. But actually it doesn't say that. If you look very carefully, it says knoweth. That's present tense. He told them they wouldn't know the day or the hour. Matter of fact, they should have known the day or the hour because they had a prophecy in Daniel 9 that told them exactly when the Messiah was going to come. 69 weeks of years. And he was right on time. And he rebuked him for not knowing the signs of his coming. Well, if they're a type for us, the church will also be rebuked if they don't know the sign of his coming. Because they are a type and a shadow for us. And in the same exact text in Daniel 9, 26, 27, 28, 29, he tells us when he's coming the second time. So let's look at that. Jesus gave us signs to read in our day. Just like he gave them signs to read in their day. Okay? For instance, Daniel's 70th week, when the firm covenant is made with many, that's a sign to be read in our day. Okay? So it's true that no one knew before because they haven't seen these signs yet, right? Okay. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Why would he have told them that if he didn't want them to be able to figure it out, right? And when he says the days of Noah, he's not talking about the 120 years everybody always points out because they want to avoid this 7 days here. Because Noah didn't leave until after 7 days, post-tribulation, right? Genesis 7 and 4, for yet 7 days, that was 7 years. And it will, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And after the 7 days, the flood was 40 days upon the earth and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Notice, Noah didn't leave after 7 days. He left after 7 days and 40 days. The 7 days representing the 70th week of Daniel, meaning 7 years, and the 40 days after that is when the ark lifted up. Meaning, of course, that Noah was sitting here on the earth for 40 days during the flood, the wrath. Okay? After 7 years plus 40 days comes up to 2,595 days in solar time, and Jesus gathers his saints. That's when Noah lifted off, okay? Exactly 2,595 days after the 7 years, and the 7 years starts when? When a firm covenant is made with many for 1 week. Okay, so if you recognize the covenant, you'll know when the Lord's coming. You could be able to count it right to the day when the Lord's coming. If you recognize the covenant, most will not recognize the covenant. That's 40 days into the day of the Lord, or the flood. that Noah was still on the earth. And the flood was 1 year and 10 days on the earth. In Genesis 7:11, the water started falling. In Genesis 8:14, the waters were dried up and Noah stepped out on the dry ground. Okay? So that was a year and 10 days. The flood is the day of the Lord. And when did the day of the Lord come? After 7 days. The day of the Lord came. The flood came. All right? So you got the timing there? We also come to this same 2,595 days from the middle of Israel's lunisolar week, because Daniel used the lunisolar week, but God didn't say anything about lunisolar when he talked to Noah. He just told him how many days, right? And we know that God spoke correctly. Lunisolar is a jumbled up mess of correcting a lunar calendar with solar days, okay? But it just happens to come to the exact same day. Daniel 9:27. He shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 7, literally. A Shabua is a 7. It can be a 7 of days. It can be a 7 of years. It's used both ways in the scripture. Okay? But we know that this is a 7 of years because the first 69 weeks worked out to be 69 weeks of years until the coming of the Messiah. So we know this is 7 years. Okay? He shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 7-year period. And in the midst of the 7, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So in the middle of the 7, the burnt offering is made to cease. Okay, now Daniel 12:11 tells us to start counting there. Okay, Daniel 12:11. And from the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and we were just told that that was in mid-trib, the middle of the week, right? There shall be 1,290 days. Okay, if you count from the middle of the trib, 1,290 days, you come to the end of the trib in their lunisolar calendar. You know why? Because if it's 1,290 days from the middle of the trib, that's the second 3.5 years, then the first 3.5 years has to be 1,260 days, because after every 6 years, the Jews added 30 days to their calendar to correct it for solar time. So you got 1,260 and 1,290. That brings you to the end of the tribulation period. We have a confirmation of this. 1260, Revelation 12 and 6, notice the numbers. 1260 and 12:6. And in Revelation 12:6, it tells us that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period was 1260 days. So you got 1260 days and 1290 days, and you come to the end of the tribulation period. Okay? But he goes beyond that, just like Noah went beyond that, didn't he? He didn't go after the 7 days. He went beyond that. So he says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. 1,335 days instead of 1,290. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, meaning die, and stand in thy lot, meaning resurrect. So Daniel's talking about the resurrection of the dead at the end of the days. So if you take 1,260 for the first 3.5 years, and instead of stopping at 1,290, you go to 1,335 days for the second 3.5 years, you come to 2,595 days exactly as Noah did for the resurrection of the dead. So you got the rapture and the resurrection of the dead from the beginning of the trib, 2,595 days until Jesus gathers his saints. So why do they say? It's been there all along. Why do they say? No man knoweth. They haven't taken the time to look at it. The Christians haven't taken the time to look at that any more than the Jews did. You see, they didn't know the time of his coming. Look at this little chart to kind of help you remember it and put it all in order here. Noah and Daniel's timing for the wrath and rapture equate. After 7 years of tribulation, the U.S. is attacked. We saw that plainly from all the types. Okay? And at that time, the sun and the moon are darkened. Okay? If you start the covenant, right there on the A of Noah, you start the covenant, the saints enter the ark at the end of the 7 years, which is the beginning of the year of wrath. Okay? And the saints leave when the ark lifts off 40 days later, which makes 2,595 days. Then, of course, Noah and his come back at the end of the year of wrath. Okay? In Daniel's timing, if you had 30 solar days after 6 years, you come to the seventh year. Now, let me point something out to you. After the 7 years, the Jews would not correct the seventh year because they only corrected every 6 years. See? So you got 6 years, they would correct. They'd go from 1260 to 1290. They would add the 30 days. But they wouldn't correct the seventh year because they would wait for another 6 years to correct their lunar with the solar days. Okay? So you got 1260 days, 1260 plus 30, 1290. That leaves 45 days between the end of that and the 2595 days. The 2595 days is locked in for the reason that God said from 1260 and 1335 comes to 2595 days. So those days are locked in. So why 45 days instead of Noah's 40 days? It's simple. That 1 year that they did not correct, they do not correct their solar calendar, but who corrects it? The Gentile church corrects it. All the Gentiles correct it. They get this right every time. You know who he's talking to here? He's talking to the church, not talking to the Jews. They're the only ones that could figure this out because they always correct it, and the Jews don't correct it. Okay? So, right here, we had 5 solar days. After 7 years, right here, and that brings it back to 40 days that the people of God are on the earth during the wrath of God when they take off at 2,595 days. So it's perfect. What about that 40 days? That's an interesting time, don't you think? That they're still on the earth during the flood, right? Hidden in the ark for a 40-day moment. Like Noah, we that are alive and that are left unto the coming of the Lord enter the ark of Christ for the first 40 days of the wrath. We're not talking about a boat anymore, right? I mean, they all gathered together in one place, and yet the saints are spread out throughout the earth. Right? We're not talking about putting them in a boat, but we do have an ark. You know, even the Ark of the Covenant sounds like the same ark, doesn't it? And Jesus Christ is the Ark of the Covenant.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.